Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
We have been looking at the possible implications for the future one world religion and the one world government associated with the present COVID-19 virus. And tonight, I want to look more specifically at the possible implications for one world government. This is something, a topic which I think is timely, of course, as we know that there will be a one world government one day, according to Scripture, as well as a one world religion, a one world economy. Now, I want to share a few articles that I've found. I've found some good quality articles here, I believe, that are helpful. Some of them are a little older articles, but still helpful, still relevant. And some articles that also are from some good Christian apologetics and discernment ministries, which, if you're not aware of, would be helpful to you. Let's go ahead and just jump right in there. Actually, the title of this first article would be a good title for tonight's talk, I think. COVID-19, a crisis fit for a new world order. And the term New World Order, of course, sometimes is associated with conspiracy theories. I think the term New World Order is a sort of a contemporary term, but we do know, as I said before, that the Bible predicts a coming one world government. Call it what you will, it will come eventually. This article, as I just gave you the title, is by Cheryl Chumley of the Washington Times. So this is basically a secular newspaper, and it's from March 28, 2020. If crisis is a means by which Democrats achieve their political ends, and it is, just think of their famous Never Let a Crisis Go to Waste playbook. Then imagine what coronavirus means to the globalists. What a dizzying opportunity for them to achieve massive goals. This is a new world order, one world order time in the teachings of the Bible believers. Not only is America's economy crashing, not only have the world's producers come to a grinding halt, but citizens are in fear. They don't know who or what to believe. Now, like I say, this is a little bit of an older article, and there is some new hope that's been recently achieved by businesses opening and some of the states opening, but you see this battle going on politically. And I meant to mention earlier, you know, my program is entitled Deception in the Last Days, and mostly having to do with spiritual deception, but, you know, there's plenty of deception to go around all over the place. Spiritual deception, political deception, cultural deception, economic deception, you know, fake news. We live in a very disingenuous, let's say, time. We live in a fallen world, of course, so that's to be expected. But I believe that because Christ warned us in Matthew 24:4, that one of the big indicators before he returned would be deception on a mass global level, you know, that we should be aware that the deceptions that are going on, we have to test all things, in other words. And as believers in the Bible, we have the Word of God to test spiritual deceptions, of course. That's what we go to. Now, this article goes on to say, the Democrats, with their pitifully poor presidential pick of Joe Biden, know a good crisis when they see one. So do their mouthpieces in the media. On into the article. And therein lies one of the biggest problems with this coronavirus craze, the inability for the average citizen to discern what's truth versus what's hyperbole. Because the Democrats, with their never let any crisis go to waste mindset, underscored by Nancy Pelosi's recent try at padding the coronavirus bill with all kinds of far-left ridiculous wish list items, sure do know how to wax hyperbolic when necessary. They sure do know how to grab attention and drum up the panic, when politically expedient, that is. And just think, all the more so, the global forces who would seek to strip America of all greatness, redistribute U.S. wealth to the world's poorest nations, implement a one-currency system that can be controlled by a select few, and design a total top-down approach to governing that melds borders and cultures into one. Oh, and yes, don't forget that wipes out any religion that interferes with worship of the government. A new world order, a one world order. Biblically speaking, this will come, as I said before, and the scripture is quoted, about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. And that's from the Gospel of Mark. Now, might I add, I'm not even going to say anything about the current riotings and all that's been taking place, which, of course, is another crisis that is stoked by left-wing radicals, communists, socialists of every stripe, anarchists, basically, which is another good reason to realize how close we are to the return, you know, the blessed hope of the Lord, because the man of sin, the lawless one, I believe will come, you know, after the church has been removed from the earth, and we see this anarchy, this spirit of lawlessness is so pervasive, not only in America, but throughout the world. And of course, these protests, these racial baiting protests are fueling that fire of anarchy. But if it was not that, it would be something else, I'm sure. But anyway, I digress, since that's not something I'm really addressing tonight, is the various anarchy and the riots and what have you. But we're still looking at the COVID virus. The article goes on to say, right, time will tell, nobody else will. And that is, of course, when the Lord is going to return and when this new order, new one world order is going to be established, etc. But isn't it interesting that the coronavirus is currently stripping Americans of their freedoms to assemble, freedoms to worship in church, freedoms to buy and sell, freedoms to exercise their Second Amendment rights, freedoms to live a life unfettered by a growing, burdensome government. It's a temporary situation, no doubt. With Trump in charge, it's almost definitely a temporary situation. But one day, and on this bet the farm, it won't be. And that right there is the real takeaway lesson for this coronavirus age. And it does seem that, you know, all of this really is always, there's always a testing. Let's see how far we can go. The far left, the anarchy, the forces of Antichrist, etc. Let's see how far we can take these crises. Let's see what we can get away with in taking away people's rights and just seeing how much they'll put up with. So it's very interesting times, and perilous times would be a good biblical term for it, that we live in. The next article I have for you here is by Simon Kent, and it's from Breitbart. Former UK Prime Minister Gordon Brown, time for global government to tackle the coronavirus. Again, this article is a couple months old. I don't have the exact date on it, actually. But the article says, now is the time for global leaders to create one world government to tackle the twin medical and economic crises caused by the Chinese coronavirus pandemic, former UK Prime Minister Gordon Brown urged on Thursday. The left-wing former Labour leader said there was a need for a task force involving world leaders, health experts, and the heads of international organizations that would have supreme and unfettered executive powers to coordinate the response. So, like I say, always testing, how far can we go? What can we get away with? He gave no indication of who would appoint the leaders, how long they would serve for, or just what their powers would involve, the Guardian reports. That's from the Guardian newspaper in England. Brown simply wants a new layer of global supra-government to force a solution to a crisis that began in Wuhan, China. This is not something that can be dealt with in one country, he said. There has to be a coordinated global response. Brown said the current crisis was different to the one he was involved in 2008 during the global financial crash. That was an economic problem that had economic causes and had an economic solution. This is first and foremost a medical emergency, and there has to be joint action to deal with that. But the more you intervene to deal with the medical emergency, the more you put economies at risk. Brown said his proposed global task force would fight the crisis on two fronts. There would need to be a coordinated effort to find a vaccine and to organize production, purchasing, and prevent profiteering. So always looking for a global solution. You know, remember in the book of Genesis, Genesis 11, mankind thought it'd be a good idea to build the Tower of Babel, or Babel, to join together and unite all the powers of all the different people. And God said, no, not such a good idea. I think I would rather see you in nation states and distributed among all of them. And you can read all about it in Genesis 11 if you haven't. But that Babylonian, the Tower of Babel, and then later in the book of Daniel, we read about the Babylonian Empire, which I'll mention in a future podcast a little bit more. That idea of let's all band together and make this a better world, that's not going away, folks. I can assure you of that. Now, this is an article from the American Thinker. I don't have the author's name. It's a little bit older article, as in a couple of years old, but still relevant. The United Nations wants a one-world government in less than 12 years. Well, from 2018, then I guess that would be in less than 10 years. United Nations, they're someone that you don't want to put a whole lot of trust in. In 2015, 70 years after their original rights-based document, the UN took a giant step towards the global government that was only hinted at in their first organizing document. They issued a document entitled Transforming Our World, the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. I've talked a little bit about this in earlier podcasts. What is meant by the term sustainable? The most often quoted definition comes from the UN World Commission on Environment and Development. Sustainable development is development that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. Of course, the takeoff is the Marxist axiom that society should be organized around the idea from each according to his ability to each according to his needs. Thus, Marxism is implicit in sustainability, but is nuanced by its alliance with seemingly scientific adjustments and goals related to environmentalism. A technical jargon is welded to Marxist intentionality to produce a sense of fittingness and modern progress. The entire Transforming Our World document is cast in a stream of consciousness of pious platitudes for a utopian future. The one-worlders of the 50s and 60s are now in the UN driver's seat, and they have made their move. The overlay of Marxist talk about meeting needs has moved to center stage. The UN has assigned a time frame for moving forward in its plan for planetary hegemony. This projected transformation detailing, yet without details, a new world order of environmental responsibility and a significant reduction of poverty and hunger never speaks to the practical dimension of vast manipulations of people by cynical leaders and ignorant bureaucrats who hold their positions through terrorism and bribery. The sustainability ideal is not wedded to a Christian worldview. Instead, individual liberty is submerged in a scientifically determined collectivist mindset with final decisions at the hands of the devilish, all-knowing big brothers. So whether it's the coronavirus, whether it's some sort of environmental calamity, whether it's poverty, world poverty, you know, whatever it is, you know, we need a one-world government to deal with all these issues. Now, I want to move to a Christian point of view from Mike Gendron in his newsletter, Proclaiming the Gospel. Mike is a former Catholic, and he's an evangelist and a great discernment ministry guy, a great apologist for the faith. And this is an article, Prophetic Implications of This Global Crisis. And I think, you know, Mike Gendron always has his hand on the pulse of things taking place from a biblical perspective in looking into things from a prophetic point of view. I'm going to, this article is actually, the print is a little small here, so let me get a light on this. the light of Bible prophecy. Anyway, students of Bible prophecy are not surprised by events that have been triggered by the COVID-19 pandemic. The Lord Jesus Christ gave us signs that would precede his second coming. One of the many signs that we are seeing today is pestilence. Pestilence is defined as a contagion or infectious epidemic that is virulent and devastating. Lord Jesus said that the signs will arrive like birth pangs, meaning they will increase in frequency and intensity prior to his return. It is true that we have seen devastating plagues and pestilences throughout history, but none of them have had the far-reaching global impact of COVID-19. And I think that's partially because of the times we're living in and the mass communications and such that we have. You know, the Spanish flu in 1918 didn't have the same type of effect in some ways, even though more people died. But it had a second and a third wave, and of course we pray that not be the case with COVID-19. Anyway, I'm adding my own thoughts here. Let's get back to this article. Could it be that our sovereign Lord is giving a merciful warning of a more devastating pestilence that awaits those who do not seek him as their savior and refuge? During the Great Tribulation, one-fourth of the world's population will perish by pestilence, plagues, and the sword. And of course, you know, Mike is not saying we're in the tribulation, neither am I. But, you know, birth pangs, right? Birth pangs. A woman goes through birth pangs before she gives birth. More plagues will follow that will kill one-third of the remaining population, and that's Revelation 9:18. And the last verse was Revelation 6:8, by the way, talking about one-fourth of the world's population perishing by pestilences, plagues, etc. And then more plagues later in Revelation 9:18. Another one of the prophetic signs is that of a global government that will be ruled by a dictator who will have authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation, Revelation 13:7. He will cause everyone to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, and no one will be able to buy or sell without the mark, Revelation 13:16-17. This worldwide pandemic has been a catalyst for globalists to centralize and digitalize data on a growing segment of the world's population. Of course, I've been looking, sharing some of that from some of the articles we've seen. The ultimate goal of the globalist agenda is widespread surveillance and control over people's lives, including our jobs, our religious activities, our medical care, our travel, and our buying and selling. Historically, we have seen that every serious crisis has brought about new opportunities for government control. This coronavirus crisis will eventually pass, but the government will never forget how easy it was to take control of our lives. The World Health Organization, WHO, is proposing a cashless society because cash may be spreading the coronavirus. To prevent the spread of the disease, they claim we need to use the latest technology to buy and sell. Health experts are turning to technology to take over the contact tracing of the virus. An invisible quantum dot tattoo implant that will track who has been tested for and vaccinated against COVID-19 is now in the works. Countries like Singapore and China are using cell phone-based tools to identify and monitor people who might have been exposed to someone with COVID-19. Google and Apple have partnered to build a Bluetooth-based tracking system that can automatically log people's interactions. The push for a global government, coupled with the necessary tools for surveillance technology, will one day enable the Antichrist to introduce his mark that will control a global economy. Over 180 countries throughout the world have been dealing with the devastating effects of this pandemic. Government-enforced lockdowns and stay-at-home orders have produced angry protests, rising unemployment, and economic collapse. The rising death count, along with all the fear-mongering and misinformation produced by the liberal media, is fanning the flames of hysteria and causing growing confusion and hopelessness. Bill Gates, who is a vocal proponent for population control, has pushed for massive worldwide vaccinations. He recently stated mass public gatherings will not come back at all until we have everyone on the planet covered by vaccines. The whole world may be primed for an intellectual genius to rise up with all the solutions for a new world order of peace and prosperity. The Apostle Paul described him as the man of lawlessness. I mentioned that earlier. Okay, and 2 Thessalonians 2:3-4. He will come in accordance with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders. And that is 2 Thessalonians 2:9. Of course, we do not know when he will appear, because his appearance will be according to our sovereign Lord's prophetic time clock. When the beast does appear, the whole earth will marvel as they follow him. And that's Revelation 13:3. And then to end the article, his article, he says, we have seen how God disciplines his people who go astray, and how he judges godless nations and pestilences and with pestilence and famine. The wisest response to God's judgment has always been repentance, faith, and obedience to the one true God and Savior. Christians who have been called out of darkness into the glorious light of our Savior are not to be troubled or afraid. Our Lord is with us no matter how hopeless the situation or circumstances appear to be. He sovereignly controls everything in His creation, including COVID-19. We do not know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Hebrews 10:23. Now, I have an article that I want to look at now, and I don't know if I will make it through this article, but we will see. And this is also from another excellent source I want to recommend if you're not familiar with, the John Ankerberg Show. John Ankerberg has been on the cutting edge for years with his TV program, and he has had many people over the years on that program dealing with cults, dealing with prophecy, and all different types of things, very relevant things. I am trying. Thank you for your patience with me. Thank you. I am not an electronics genius, that's for sure. Anyway, John Ankerberg's program, and this is a very excellent article from his website. Actually, the article is by Ed Heinzen, who is also a prophecy expert. And the title of the article, let's see how far we can get along here. Prophetic Signs of the Times. Is this the beginning of the end? The current coronavirus pandemic has the entire world on edge. Many are asking, is this the judgment of God? Is this the beginning of the Great Tribulation? Will it lead to the end of the world as we know it? Is this a sign of Christ's soon return? Opinions on these matters are flying all over the internet in every conceivable direction. Unfortunately, wild speculation is running out of control faster than the virus itself. His first statement, who is God? Let me challenge all of us to think biblically at a time like this. First, let us consider the nature and character of God. And basically, he's talking about the attributes of God. A lot of liberals think God has one attribute. He's love, and that's it. You know, he's not just, you know, he won't judge sinners. He won't, there is no hell, you know, but God is love. Okay, that's the only attribute he has in some people's minds. But he has many attributes. And so let's get back to square one and think biblically at a time like this. First of all, he is eternal. He has always existed and always will exist. Psalm 92. Secondly, he is omnipotent, meaning all-powerful. He is called Almighty 56 times in the Bible. Three, he is omniscient, or all-knowing. He knows everything at once, past, present, and future. You know, he doesn't live in time like we do. He lives outside of time. He knows all about us even before we were born. Psalm 139:16. And fourth, and this is just four of his attributes, but this is four that Ed Heinzen mentions here. He is omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. Psalm 139:7-11 declares that there is nowhere that God is not present at all times. Now, in light of these essential attributes of God, we must ask, did God know there would be a coronavirus pandemic? Yes. Is God powerful enough to prevent it? Yes. Did he choose to prevent it? No. Did he cause it? No. Five, can he ultimately overrule it? Yes. Six, will he ultimately use it to fulfill his purpose? Yes. And then he gives us three statements here, three questions, really. Is this the judgment of God? Is this a warning from God? And is this the end of the world? And we'll look at the first one. Is this the judgment of God? The worldwide nature of the pandemic causes people to ask, if this is God's judgment on a sinful world. Okay, his first point is the world is already under the judgment of God because of sin and human depravity. And he quotes a couple verses, but I like John 3:16 through 19. And I'm going to take the time to read that now. This is the old familiar verse in John 3:16, but then further. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So this whole world is already under the condemnation of God, but God has taken the steps in sending the Messiah to deliver us from the wrath to come, if we'll accept that free gift of pardon and salvation. It says further, God does at all times send specific judgments on individuals, and he mentions Pharaoh and different groups of people, the Egyptians and Edom. And then he says, however, Jesus clearly stated that not all disasters are judgments are judgments because of sin. And he uses the example in Luke 13:1-4 of the Tower of Siloam that landed on some of the people there. You can look that up and read that for yourself. Some tragedies, in other words, are accidents of human or natural causes. Jesus also warned that in the last days there would be earthquakes, famines, pestilences, fearful sights, and great signs. Jesus also, urged believers to look up, for your redemption draws near, in anticipation of his coming, when these things begin to come to pass. In light of these truths, what can we conclude? Is our fallen, sinful world already under the judgment of God? Yes. Can specific disasters be judgments from God? Yes. Are all disasters judgments of God? No. Is God warning us of a greater future judgment to come? Yes. And that's all I'm going to have time for now. Next week, we will continue this article and look at some other interesting things. Thank you for joining with me tonight. God bless you all.